your farm. Stay on the scene. You got to have the feeling.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning, good morning, good morning. And yeah, normally you hear another voice chiming in right about then, but no Sam Crenshaw this morning. We will get into why Mr. Crenshaw is not here, but this is Greg. Hope you are having a wonderful week and getting into this weekend. Bundle up. That's the word. It's going to be cold outside. I have got, for the first time, I think, in the history of this show, Bo is here with me, by the way, too, two questions. Because, you know, Sam and I usually go back and forth about a number of things, but when I'm in here by myself, and this is the hardest part for me. I've been on Atlanta Airwaves forever, but it's always this first segment. And I'm telling you, I talked about this last week. In fact, we're going to be doing this again in a couple weeks, too. But I feel like Tom Glavine. And those of you who've been around long enough to remember when Glavine, when the big three were pitching, the issue with Glavine was always that first inning. If they were going to get to the Braves and Glavine was on the mound, you got to get to him early. But if you get to him early and he gets through that first one, he's good to go. That's kind of how I feel. But what I wanted to just kind of go around a number of things that happened this past week. I mean, there's some obvious stuff. I'm going to get to some college football and the matchups today and what Georgia has to do and some of the top matchups of games that those teams that are vying for getting up into the playoffs and hopefully that some of the top guys lose. They want to position themselves, and obviously Georgia has to win out. We'll get to that in a second. But there's some things that happened this past week that got me wondering. And so I'm going to deputize some of you out there, especially baseball fans. Believe it or not, as we sit here in the meat and potatoes of college football and getting ready, there were some things that happened this past week that have brought me back to baseball, which gets me started with poll question number one. You can go to @92.9TheGame and give us your results or give us your thoughts. But this one's real simple. Got the news yesterday that all-star catcher Joe Mauer retired. One of the best catchers baseball has seen in a long time. But the problem is he was up there in Minnesota. And much like another Hall of Famer, you kind of have to go, oh, yeah, when you look at his numbers. And I'm not going to break those down right now. We're going to hear those later on in the hour. But is he akin to Paul Molitor? Paul Molitor is another one of those guys. 3,000 hits. In fact, got a triple on his 3,000th hit. I mean, it's not Derek Jeter hitting a home run on his 3,000th, but that's pretty good. You get a triple for your 3,000th hit, that's pretty good. But anyway, here's the question. Is Joe Mauer a Hall of Famer? Announced his retirement yesterday. So again, give us your thoughts, yes or no, simple as that, @92.9TheGame. Bo's going to give us updates throughout the course of the show. But these games that are going on today, we're going to talk to some folks throughout the show that have maybe a clearer perspective on what these teams could do. But at the end of the day, we all know that, I mean, nobody really knows. We sit up here and dissect stuff. We talk about this player and this coach and that. Of course, on the college level, it's all about coaches, right? So we talk about this coach and that coach and what they might do and what adjustments might be made, and you try and dissect the game. But at the end of the day, we don't know. So especially when it comes to Georgia, at least for me, I have no perspective, I have no insight that I think could lend a perspective on what Georgia might do compared to last year and what I've seen. Yes, they've got one loss. But listen, as far as I'm concerned, Kirby Smart has been pushing all the right buttons. I mean, listen, it was one play that kept them from hardware last year. So I'm cool with what he's doing. But he's still got to get by Auburn today, and that's one of the games. If you guys got any thoughts on this, 404-741-0929, that's the number here in the Kia Studios. Again, Sam is out. We're going to talk about where this dude is. In fact, I'm not sure he knows where he is, but he's out covering football, and he's two time zones away in an area he's never been to before. So, again, we'll get back to Mr. Crenshaw in a bit. But these games today, these teams that cannot lose, starting with Ohio State and Michigan State. Ohio State's looking up. And, yeah, one loss, but that – listen, these guys – I mean, when you look at what happened with them, I'm thinking, what? They got thumped by Purdue, and they almost lost to Nebraska. So there's going to take some, and of course, they got to get past Michigan their last game of the season. Now they're going to host that game. But this is a game that got to win today, Ohio State, Michigan State. That's a noon kickoff. That's one of the games. It's a must win. These guys, they trail Michigan by one game. But Michigan's got a pretty good road going into that last game against Ohio State. I mean, they got Rutgers and they got Indiana. So, again, this is a must win for Ohio State today. Another must win, Notre Dame. They got a home game against Florida State. On paper, that looks like it should be no problem. But Notre Dame's going into this game without their quarterback. But general consensus is they figure they can still handle Florida State. But we don't know, right? Talked a little bit about Georgia going up against a 6-3 Auburn team. Just win it. Just win it. In fact, the two teams that are looking up at the playoffs right now here locally, if they win, it doesn't matter. Well, in Georgia's case, they do need a little bit of help from either Michigan or, you know, Clemson or Alabama to lose, or, you know, one of those teams above them. But for the most part, they went out. Most people around here are feeling pretty comfortable that they're going to ascend. Somebody's going to have a hiccup of those four teams above them, and they might make their way in. And I'm thinking Notre Dame is going to be the entry point. But they still got to get it done. They got to beat Auburn. One of the other games, and I don't really care. Well, Clemson, too. I'm sorry. Before I get to the one I don't care about, Clemson again, sitting undefeated, going up against Boston College. This is a 4-1 team in the ACC. I tell you what, we, meaning Sam and I, don't give enough love to the ACC. We just don't. We know it. Some of the people listen to the show, or most of the people listen to the show on a regular basis, let us know that. So today, I'm going to give you some love to the ACC. That we're going to do it with a guy who's calling one of the games. So that's coming up later on the show. But this Clemson-Boston College. Clemson's just got to keep the train moving. If they keep the train moving, everything will take care of themselves. They're sitting in that two position. Things are looking good. Oklahoma State at Oklahoma. Oklahoma's sitting at number 6. I don't care one loss or not. I don't care if they run the table. I don't want to see Oklahoma near any kind of playoff game. I don't trust them. I don't say I won't like them. I don't even make it personal. But I just don't. I don't trust them. And this is a conclusion I've come to that's taken many years where I have put all my eggs in an Oklahoma basket and it never comes up. So those are some of the games that really have to happen for the big boys in this one to continue moving toward the playoffs. And we're going to talk about those throughout the show. But I was also talking before the show, too, about where would I like to go as far as these semifinals? Which one would you like to go to? You want to go to the one at Jerry World? AT&T, was it AT&T Stadium? They're going to host one. Now that we got this place here, now that we have Mercedes-Benz Stadium, you know, Jerry's World right now is kind of like that older roller coaster at Six Flags. It was nice the first couple of years when it was there, but now we got a bigger and faster one. The one I'd like to go to personally is the other one, and that's at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. There's something about that stadium, the way it looks, the way it's built. It's open air, but it's covered to where if it rains, the fans are good. Fans aren't going to get wet, just the field. So, again, talking about that, we're getting ready for this is going to be a great playoff season when it comes to college football. Looking forward to it. And again, I'm looking for Notre Dame. I don't know if it's going to be today. I'm thinking it's going to be that USC game. It's going to be the hiccup for them. So that's why I want just Georgia, just run the table. Let Notre Dame go and have that problem. Listen, I hope it happens today. I really do. I personally don't think so. Florida State could step up. But I think it's going to be the USC game. And I don't know why. And it doesn't, the records, as they say, throw them out the window. That's a rivalry game. And, you know, I'm hoping that's the entry point. 404-741-0929. Again, this is Greg. Mr. Crenshaw is traveling. He is out in the mountain region of the country. I want to say Montana, but I got texts from this dude from Salt Lake City. I don't know where he is at this point. I know he's traveling back, but he is on the road today. He'll be back tomorrow. The other thing is, and I want to bring Bo in this, because this, again, this is news that just happened yesterday, and it has to do with the New Orleans Saints, and there's no better person to bring in and get the thoughts of a Saints fan in that community. Man, you, Dez Bryant, in practice, just gets picked up by the Saints, going to be a weapon, and tears his ACL yesterday.
Yeah, going to be more, you know, wide receiver depth, I think, than anything. I don't think he was going to come in and blow stuff up, but he was going to be a guy that could be out there, get out there and be a distraction in a good way to get, you know, double coverage off of 13. We have no wide receiver depth down in New Orleans, zero. We've got, this will be the third wide receiver we've put on the IR in the last 2 weeks.
And the funny thing is, that's all the sports world has been talking about this past week is your wide receiver and the whole Joe Horn, the whole Joe Horn tribute. How has that guy been received down there? I mean, I thought that was great.
Who, Michael Thomas or Dez Bryant?
Thomas. No. Moving from Thomas because you're talking about losing Dez Bryant in your receiver core. But it's ironic that there's been good and bad conversation about the Saints wide receiver core this past week. And what's the conversation? Who else are they looking at trying to get down there?
Brandon Marshall seems to be the front runner as of now. And he'd still be a big-bodied guy that can probably get in the end zone when they're in the red zone. You know, they have Ben Watson, too, that can also kind of occupy that slot position and that red zone kind of threat. I wouldn't expect much more out of Brandon Marshall than, you know, 4 or 5 targets a game, if they even bring him on. These guys are unemployed for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, and at this juncture, we just need depth. They can't expect Michael Thomas and Traquan Smith, who is a rookie, to run out there on 70 plays a game.
Right.
You know, so.
Well, it's something to think about, and just yes or no, you concerned with him in your locker room, Brandon Marshall? Because that's been an issue before, which will lead me into what I want to get into in a second here.
Well, and Dez was too at some point, and then you kind of remember the Adrian Peterson blow up on the sideline last year by bringing in an NFL veteran that was used to getting the ball,
right,
and then it not happening. Now, I think that Sean Payton probably sits down with these guys before they sign anything on paper and say, look, this is your role. This is what you're going to do. You know, AP came in and he was ineffective.
Yeah.
That's how Kamara got his run. You know, so you can't really blame that on Sean Payton for not using him.
Well, I didn't blame him, but, I mean, you come into a team where you got Drew Brees as a quarterback, you got to figure.
Things can happen.
Yeah. If you it's like everything else. Make some adjustments. Be a Marine. Adapt and adjust. So it ain't about you anymore. You're not going to be Jim Brown in the backfield, but you can change who you are as a running back. Anyway,
it's about playing a role,
exactly,
not being the star. And they have to assume at this point in the career. And Dez, so far, the camaraderie in the locker room was great. Him and Mark Ingram had chummed up, and they were buddies, and sent his social media pics back and forth. Dez actually sent out a tweet after the diagnosis of the Achilles. And Mark Ingram responded to him saying they're still going to throw the X up in tribute to him. So if Mark Ingram scores a touchdown this weekend, you can look for that. But it's unfortunate, man. Everything that I've seen on social media looks very positive as far as Dez joining the team.
But next year.
You never know until game time.
Right.
And I doubt Dez's career is probably over if I speculate.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we'll see, man. I mean, we got no wide receiver depth. So we just pray for a healthy game this weekend. Get us through another week.
So looking forward to him being in that game against the Cowboys down the road. But oh well.
Well, that would have been great.
So listen, speaking of locker rooms, and I brought that up for a reason, and I'm going to get into this mostly in the next segment. I'm also going to talk more college football in the next segment, but it has to do with locker rooms, and it has to do with something I heard this past week, and this is where I need the baseball fans to kind of dip back in. We got a poll question out there. Is Joe Mauer a Hall of Famer? You go to @92.9 The Game. But I have one more question for you having to do with the overall or an overall position in all of sports. That's up next. Mr. Crenshaw's out. I'm Greg. This is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Through that first inning, I don't think I gave up too many runs. It was an analogy I used earlier. Listen, we got two poll questions coming out here. Going to go around the SEC in just a minute. Good morning. I missed that. It's a game day Saturday morning. I can't do it like Sam. But he is traveling out west, covering football, and maybe he'll be on the phone, maybe not. I don't think he realizes what time he thinks he would have to wake up out there to be on the show, but, you know, hey, listen, we'll see. Okay, here's the deal. Since Mr. Crenshaw's gone, and I'm kind of doing an overview of a number of stories that took place this past week, there were a couple things that stuck in my mind and I wanted to cover. But then yesterday we got some news that I thought was worthy of making this a two-poll question show. First question was, is Joe Mauer Hall of Fame worthy? All-star catcher Joe Mauer, Minnesota Twins, announced his retirement yesterday. One of those guys that if he played in another market, I mean, he talked about a lot more, but he was up in Minnesota. So he retired yesterday. The question is Joe Mauer, simple, yes or no, a Hall of Famer? Go to @92.9 The Game. The other question is this, and we're going to be joined by Coach John Thompson in just a second. But this whole Le'Veon Bell thing this past week with Pittsburgh and everybody digging their heels in, and we know what Le'Veon's done and we know what the Steelers are doing, and that's been chewed over. So I'm not going to go down that road. But what I will ask you is this. As I sat and thought about this past week as I heard rumors about him coming back to camp, it once again reinforced the fact that there are skill positions in major sports, pro sports in this country, that have become or are becoming obsolete and definitely marginalized, and you can blame it on cybermetrics, you can blame it on a number of things. But there is no other person who should have made their organization jump to sign him to something long-term than Le'Veon Bell as a running back in the NFL. There's some other good ones. There's some other young guys, but this guy is considered one of the best backs in the NFL. And to watch what's happened, and we've seen this with other running backs lately, so I'm not just pulling this out of you-know-where. This has been something that's been prevalent. The game has changed. The running back position, this ain't Emmitt Smith and Barry and even Adrian Peterson holding out knowing that the team will eventually acquiesce and give them their money. They're not doing it anymore for the running back position. And we've seen the same thing in the NBA with the big man. Thank you, Steph Curry. And if you do get a big man coming out of college, he better be a whole lot more versatile than what Patrick Ewing and Tim Duncan. I mean, you better be more Dirk. You better be able to face the basket and throw some big shots up. So we've seen the evolution of the big man, but that big man better have a skill set almost like a three. And then the other one is a premier base stealer in Major League Baseball. I mean, that was the thing. You got a guy on there who could get, who could, I mean, speed just drives people crazy. We know that. So those three positions that were running through my mind. So here's the poll question. Of those three, the running back, the all-time great running back, the great big man, or the base stealer in Major League Baseball, of those three, you as a fan, which one would you miss the most if it eventually just went away thanks to the changing of the game? @92.9 The Game, that's the question. Of those three, which one would you miss? I got Coach John Thompson, who's made his mark in college football. But, Coach, you're a friend of the show. You've been on many times. I ask you that question.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Of those three, which one would you miss the most?
Well, absolutely. I miss the running back because that's where most of my attention goes. But I really do miss the base stealers. I mean, I grew up with Maury Wills and Lou Brock and those kind of guys. And I miss the big man too. I miss all three of those. But I think the game, the athletes, and I think there's definite reason that those have kind of faded away a little bit. I'm not sure about the running back quite as much. I think the running back still has more leaning in the game than the other two. But I miss all three of those. They were all game changers, and the game was played differently then.
All right, Coach, again, you are a friend of the show. Every time we love having you come on because you have a perspective about these games in the SEC that Sam and I don't have. And so, listen, just take me around and tell me what I need to know. Past Georgia just getting it done today, what else has got your interest as far as games today?
Well, there's a bunch. Let me just say this about the base stealer.
Yes.
Can I give my reasons for
that?
By
all means, please. Ain't nobody listening.
Come on, let's talk. Let's hit that real quick. Okay.
Sure.
The base stealer. Home runs, obviously. Everybody's enamored by the home runs. You don't have to, you know, there's no small ball anymore. Guys hit home runs. The running back, I think it's because of the spread offense in college and so much on the touchdown pass, on the long ball in pro sports. you got more Peyton Mannings and Tom Brady's. And the big man, obviously, I think the three-point shot is taking that away from the big man. Now.
See, I was going to argue with you, but I know I want to go around the SEC with – not argue with you, but I wanted to ask – well, just since you brought it up, well, can I argue
you can't
that,
help it. You want to argue with me. I like that. We're going to get up and roll this morning. We got to do some discussion.
I don't want to argue with – exactly. I want to ask you your perspective on the point that you just made. Can I argue that it is as important as anything else that how the game has changed to have that running back that can keep ball control, especially in cold weather cities, that can not just you can run the ball, but actually be a big play threat. And having that running back just adds, you know, that's another bullet to the gun of a team. And we've watched it with New England with no names, but having that one back who you know can extend the play, extend, you know, I'm trying to come up with a great analogy here.
Now, if it's all we're talking about value, if we're talking about value and winning, yeah, I love that. But I think we're talking about more economics now. People want to, you know, instead of having, they're not going to pay for a Le'Veon Bell, they're going to make sure that you got Brown and you got Roethlisberger and you got those guys, because people are going to come to watch those guys more than they're going to come and watch a running back. Same thing with the three-pointer. I think it's so much more about the fan interest and about what's the flash in the pan instead of old-school fundamentals. Hey, if I'm a defensive coordinator and I'm going to – I don't want to have a running back pounding me, you know, and taking the game over, running the clock and doing that. I'd rather take my chance on rushing a passer and trying to knock a guy out instead of getting a long ball thrown on me.
Well, and I see what you're saying. I still think there's something to be said. And the point I was trying to make was it was about controlling those last few minutes. It was about ball control. It was about
Absolutely. Being
able to run
Absolutely. The
clock, control the clock, and things like that. So that was the point I was trying to get out. But, again, we could go back and forth on this particular subject. Tell us what we need to watch today and pay attention to in the SEC. If you want to start with Georgia, God bless you. Go ahead.
Well, there's a lot of problems going on with Auburn. I think Auburn, this is their final blow. They have got to show well in Athens today. Auburn has got to be able to run the football. They have not. They have been atrocious running the football. Stidham has not played well, but I think that's going to be a extremely important game for the rest of their season. I mean, they started out in the top five in the country, top 10 in the country, and now they're just hanging on. I think that's going to be a very important game, but Georgia's getting better, and in my opinion, Auburn is not at this point. So, you know, that'll be a fun game to watch. But the best game of the day, I think the two best games of the day, one is Oklahoma in Bedlam. That's going to be a good game. Clemson and Boston College. And I know you asked me about the SEC, but both of those games are outside the SEC. I think it's a soft week in the SEC. South Carolina, Florida. That should be a good ball game, but really nobody cares about that one right now.
Yeah.
Sure, I think this is a really a down week in the SEC in terms of flash. So I guess we'll go back to Auburn and Georgia.
Coach John Thompson joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. If you haven't listened to the show regularly, this guy is a friend of the show. He's been on many, many times. Coach started his career coaching back during the Reagan administration. You're going back to the early 80s, you played back in the day, back in the 70s. This man knows what he's talking about. One of the games that you didn't mention, and I think this is a matchup, not this particular game, but one down the road, is what happens with Notre Dame. Because I think that's going to be Georgia's entry point to that top four. Now, they go into this Florida State game today, a 4-5 team, but they're going in without their quarterback. Whether it's this game or the USC game, do you think this Notre Dame team and a possible hiccup with them will be Georgia's entry into that top four in the playoffs?
I actually do. I am not impressed with Notre Dame. Now, they get with Winbush back at quarterback today, and, you know, there's not a great matchup with Florida State, but they got a couple. Notre Dame's got a couple of shots coming down the road. They're going to make it if they're undefeated. I don't necessarily think Notre Dame is one of the top four teams in the country. Georgia, West Virginia, maybe, you know, I would love to see them play somebody like Washington State even coming on there. But I don't think it's going to happen tonight. Florida State is just not a good football team. They got issues still at quarterback, and they just don't. They haven't been a good team all year long, but maybe down the road with Notre Dame. But I'm just not impressed with them in terms of being one of the top four teams in the country. I would love to see. I think Georgia could beat them, West Virginia could beat them, and maybe even Washington State, and for sure Oklahoma could, my opinion.
Coach John Thompson joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. If you're just joining us, going around the SEC, well, actually going around college football, because we've dipped out of the SEC, talked about a little ACC action. I'm not going to talk about what it's like putting up 77 points, but you touched on Clemson, Boston College. Is Boston College, I mean, you kind of gave it a wide paintbrush as far as an overview, but is that somebody that Clemson could have a stumble with?
You know what? Boston College is a 20-point dog at home, but the pressure is on Clemson. Boston College, if they get Dylan back, and they've been awfully quiet, Dylan the running back there, if they can run the ball and slow the clock down a little bit there, and the pressure will be on Clemson, and if Boston College can just hang around and do that, yeah, I think this is one of these games that you got game day there, you got all the pressure there, and this is the first time Clemson's had it in quite a while. You know, they've been kind of hiding back. Everything's been on Alabama, and now they get to come out and do their Alabama impersonation this week. And I think the running back ETN, but from Clemson, will be, as you were talking about running backs earlier, he's going to be a major factor in this game and be able to run the football up there in the cold, which will have some effect on Clemson. So that'll be a fun game to watch.
Hey, getting back to the importance of them running backs, I'm telling you.
You got to keep them boys
happy.
Yeah, but you got Trevor Lawrence. I got him put in there because of the flash. But I don't think this is going to be a Trevor Lawrence type game. This is going to be a Dylan and ETN. Dylan for Boston College, ETN. The running backs, who has the best game there, will do it. Now, Clemson is a better team. There's no question about it. Clemson is so good on defense. But nobody has been talking about Clemson. They're just sitting there at number two, just licking their chops, just waiting. All the attention has been on Alabama and as you said, Notre Dame, and then who's ever going to be that fourth team. But this is the first time in a while Clemson has had the heat on them. So let's see how they respond and how Trevor Lawrence responds.
Well, Coach, I got to get you back here another week because I'll probably hear it when I get home, but I wanted to get your thoughts. We don't have the time on that fourth team, and that's Michigan. You know, we kind of leave in Alabama alone until they lose. You know, that's fine. But they have been continuously talking about the power this Alabama team is because this year they have a quarterback in a way that they haven't had before. I say the same thing about what's going on at Michigan. And with this Patterson kid being there, and what they've shown this year, and wondering if this is their year. But listen, we want to bring you back here in a week or two and get your thoughts on as we get closer to those last few games in college football.
I'd be happy to. Great defenses by both of those. Yeah. The two best defenses in the country, or two of the three best defenses, Alabama and Clemson and Michigan. Yeah. Michigan's front seven is awesome right now. Man, glad to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate you getting up, Coach. Have yourself a big day. On a game day.
I hadn't been to bed yet. What do you mean get up? I hadn't even been to bed yet. Come on.
All right, man. Appreciate you getting up here. I just can't do Sam's game day Sunday morning or Saturday morning. Anyway, we're going to continue talking about the polls and some of these games that are coming up today. But right now, or next, we're going to go on the other side of the glass. Get the thoughts from Bo on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. How are you guys doing this morning? Mr. Crenshaw is traveling. He will be back tomorrow. I doubt he's going to wake up. I'm going to try and blow up his phone here in a little while. He's out in Mountain Time Zone, so we'll see See what happens here. We got two poll questions put out this morning. I want to tell you about them before we go on the other side of the glass. One is, because of this whole Le'Veon Bell thing, it got me thinking about the running back position. People have talked about this ad nauseum and how important it is. It's just lost its loftiness in the NFL the way it once was. So the NFL running back, the NBA big man, and a premier base stealer in Major League Baseball have all sort of been put on the back burner. Not like the way they used to be. So that's the poll question. Of those three, which one would you miss the most? You go to @929 the game, let us know. Running back in the NFL, big man in the NBA, and premier base dealer in Major League Baseball. That's one question. And the second question was, is Joe Mauer a Hall of Famer? All-star catcher, announced his retirement yesterday after 15 seasons. Is he a Hall of Famer? Again, @929thegame.com. Let us know what you think. It is now time to go on the other side of the glass.
You know, I keep thinking that if I just keep talking about baseball every weekend,
they'll come back early.
Slowly, it's going to be baseball season again. Especially since the clock's just leapt forward or got.
We fell back.
We just lost daylight, and I'm upset about it. And it's 35 degrees outside. I'm upset about that also.
It'd be a perfect time to talk about
Let's talk about
Minnesota.
Some baseball.
Yeah, exactly.
For real. Let's talk about that Minnesota guy. We're going to put Joe Mauer on the back burner for about 5 minutes. We're going to talk about these hometown Atlanta Braves. The MLB, most of the MLB awards were given out last week. Now, they kind of string these things along like the NBA playoffs because they still have not announced several awards like the MVP, Cy Young, Manager of the War, Manager of the Year, Rookie of the Year, right, which will be next week starting on Monday. But the MLB Gold Gloves were given out last week, and three Atlanta Braves were winners. Okay. One Mr. Freddie Freeman, Ender Inciarte in center field, and Nick Markakis in right field. Now, a lot of people were upset that Ronald Acuna didn't win a Gold Glove.
I was just going to say. I didn't hear that name.
Now, see, Ronald Acuna made lots of flashy catches, scaled some walls, made some dives, but for every one of those, he also kind of had some dribblers go through his legs, so his fielding percentage wasn't quite up there where Ender's is. Ender and Nick Markakis, their baseballs do not get past
that's
those
true.
Two guys.
That's
so that's the reason why. It's not just for flashy catches. Now, 10-time Gold Glove winner consecutive, by the way. Andrew Jones did both.
Right.
Which is why he was a shoe-in every year. He had a great fielding percentage of like .990 every year and made the spectacular catches. So.
And upset you why he's in the Hall of Fame himself. But
man,
that's another
show. That's a whole other discussion. That's a whole other show.
As I like to say, a whole other episode of Oprah.
So Freddie Freeman was also named the Wilson Defensive Player of the Year at first base.
Which I can this see is, that.
There's yeah. No really argument there, not one bit. We have the best defensive first baseman in the game. You can argue me if you want for Goldschmidt or whoever you think it might be.
When is the last time that's happened on this Braves team, that we've had that quality at first base?
I don't think ever. No, because just about everybody we've had in that position was there for their bats. Now Freddie's there for both.
Right.
So congratulations, Mr. Freddie Freeman. The National League Silver Sluggers were also handed out, and Braves right fielder, no doubt for his batting average, because none of the other statistical categories really pop off the page like his batting average did. But Nick Markakis wins a Silver Slugger Award.
This is a great year for him.
Oh, it was, man. Career
an all-star
year.
Game.
Which makes this offseason very interesting for Nick. And we're going to get into that a little bit more in a minute. So if you want to see if Brian Snitker does win Manager of the Year, and he should, you know, I think there's a great case for Snit to be made Manager of the Year. Your boy up in Milwaukee is also
Milwaukee.
Nominated.
Yeah.
So we'll see. So Manager of the Year will be announced Tuesday, November 13th. Rookies of the Year, which Ronald Acuna should run away with this one too.
Mm-hmm.
Soto up in Washington had a pretty decent year, but you know, you got to nominate somebody. You can't just have it, you know, unopposed. That will happen Monday on the 12th, and then the Cy Young will be the 14th. MVP awards will be announced on the 15th. Now, speaking of Nick Markakis in the Braves' right field position, so a little bit of drama has gone down in Washington and kind of went down that we're just finding out towards the end of the season. It all started by the Los Angeles Dodgers when they were making all of their moves right around the time they acquired Machado. Went to the Washington Nationals about Bryce Harper, and included Yasiel Puig in that discussion. Now, you think Harper, Puig, a lot of people want to put him in the same light as being clubhouse distractions, show-offs, yeah, bat flippers, yada, yada, yada. But Bryce, you know, his antics on the field don't reflect who he is off the field, and he doesn't do quite as much as Yasiel Puig. Do you think that that's kind of the player that they – like, you take one distraction and trade him for a bigger one if you're the Nationals? I mean, that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense why they would have – I mean, he does play right field, I guess, is why they kind of
– I mean, I don't know. Are they equal? Do they cancel each other out as far as talent and production?
Oh, no. Bryce is the far bigger talent. There was more included in the trade, but it was Puig that was – I just found that kind of entertaining that they're going to take – probably the biggest distraction in bat flipper and trade him for maybe the second biggest. Why would the Nats even want to do that? So, of course, they declined that trade. Then they turned around and offered Bryce a $300 million contract.
Too low.
Now, see, I don't know. See, I'm thinking it's probably a little bit too low, but it was 10 years, and there's no opt-out.
Ooh.
So this is 2018, man. Players want long-term, but they want to be able to back out of it if things aren't going well.
Exactly.
And they're getting it in every sport, well, except for football, which, you know, contracts mean
nothing. And it would be lower
nothing,
than Giancarlo's, and it would be lower than – is that lower than
Kershaw
Cabrera's
just signed
too?
Well, Kershaw just signed an extension where he only plays 20 games a year for over 30 a year. So
get the Vince Scully contract.
Yeah.
He should go up on the road.
So Bryce is officially not going to be a National anymore. I still say the Braves should go throw $350 at him. You know, I think he's worth $35 million.
Long as it
We've
ain't
got
Machado.
The money.
Long as it ain't
no,
Machado.
No, keep Machado as far away from here as you possibly can for the love of Pete. So Joe Mauer retires after 15 years, a six-time All-Star, and you're wondering if Joe Mauer should be a first-ballot Hall of Famer. I think that he probably should.
I
now,
do too.
Will he? I don't think so. And this might even be a guy that doesn't get into like maybe the third or fourth time that he's on the ballot.
And Minnesota hurts him with that. If that's the case, well, then it's Minnesota.
Correct. Because it's Minnesota, and it's him going to first base where he proceeded to bat well under his career average. But, I mean, I think if you're a smart human being, and I'm not saying that baseball writers are, because a lot of them that vote for these things.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man. There were three people that didn't vote for Ken Griffey Jr.
That's
there were
true.
Three
that's
people
true.
That didn't vote for Chipper Jones.
And it's all about
– Idiots
you know.
Is what they are, if y'all are out there.
All right. There
okay. So, three American League batting titles as a catcher did Joe Mauer get. 2009 AL MVP. He did surpass 2,000 career hits, and like I said before, he was a six-time All-Star. So, does Joe Mauer deserve to be in the Hall of Fame on the first ballot? I believe so.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He showed to be one of the best players at his position during the time he played. I mean, won Gold Gloves, and offensively, he was a five-time Silver Slugger Award winner, right? So as far as I'm concerned,
he did. He did it all as a catcher. Now he's no Pudge,
no.
But
he is. He's in Pudge's category, and there's only one other guy, and that's him. Posey, and him are the only catchers that have won MVPs in the last 50
years.
Yeah,
and I mean that alone almost. I mean, you know, you can have a great year and win an MVP. That's happened, you know, around here recently. But yeah, I agree. He should be in the Hall of Fame, most certainly. Do I think he's going to get there? He's not flashy enough. He's way too Minnesota.
That's true.
And then, people are looking at the last 5 years or so when he went to DHing and playing first base, and for some reason they're taking that or holding that against him. Now, he could have retired, and this might not be a question. Instead of playing, you know, a few years at first base, I don't know.
Who's the greatest twin? Is it him? I'm going to give you a couple names. Him? Kirby Puckett? Is it Harmon Killebrew? Is it who was I just talking about a little while ago? Molitor?
Wow.
You know?
So,
Tony Oliva?
So Molitor and Kirby were on that. I got to say, because the 1987 World Series, it's got to be Kirby Puckett.
Well, 91 just off, around here, too.
Off the top of my head.
Yeah. All right,
but didn't he win the MVP in 1987, though?
I'm not.
Kirby?
I know
I think he did. I could be wrong. Yeah. Feel free to correct me if you want
to. He killed us in 91. Yeah, really. Anyway, I'm going to give you a shot at some of these jobs in the film and TV industry. That is up next. It's Casting Call. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.